Many years ago, Lisa and I were driving late at night through a remote part of Nevada on our way to California. And it was this twisty, turny, two-lane road, and I was, like the good boy that I am, driving the speed limit. And it was pitch black outside, and the only light I could see was coming from my own headlamps. And suddenly, there was a car behind me, really close. And after tailgating me for a few miles, I think he got tired of going the speed limit and decided to go around me over the double yellow line. Just like that. Well, a few seconds later, a second car did the exact same thing. And I'm thinking, I'm not driving that slow, am I? But as soon as that second car came around me, I saw him engage his blue and red lights. And he pulled over the first guy. Don't you love it when that happens? When immediate justice is served and someone who has wronged you gets what they deserve? Of course, it's a very different story when you see those red and blue lights in your own rearview mirror. As human beings, we long for justice. But we hate the idea of being judged ourselves. We want God to put things to right and to smite our enemies, but not, we don't want a God who will ultimately hold us accountable for what we have done and left undone. But my friends, that is not the Jesus of Scripture. In this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus says some things that are really hard for us to hear. And so it might be tempting to skip over this and move on to the parts where he talks about love and forgiveness. Okay. The problem, though, is that love and forgiveness are meaningless unless we also talk about judgment and justice. Our gospel lesson today comes from the middle of a fairly long discourse that covers a wide range of topics. And this all takes place the day after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So this is the Monday before the crucifixion. Jesus knows that his hour is upon him, and so he's no longer holding anything back. He's going to lay it all out there. And in verse 49, Jesus says, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled." And the fire that Jesus is talking about is the fire of judgment. Now let's think about this image of fire for a minute. Fire is both wonderful and terrifying. It can keep us warm and cook our food, but it can also destroy our homes and burn our flesh. Now, when you put gold or silver into a furnace, that fire helps to separate out the valuable metal from any impurities that might be mixed into it. That dross, the extra stuff, is consumed, leaving behind pure gold or pure silver. And according to Timothy Keller, fire cleanses lasting things and reveals to us what is valuable. And in a similar way, judgment is meant to cleanse us from the impurity of our own sin. But now Jesus says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." We know he's not talking about water baptism because Jesus has already had water baptism. And given the context here, it's fairly obvious that this new baptism he's speaking about is his own passion and death on the cross. In just a few short days, Jesus will take upon himself that judgment that we all rightly deserve. He will take the weight of our sin upon himself, and he will die in our place. The one righteous man will suffer for the sake of the unrighteous. For justice to be served, there has to be judgment. And Jesus knows that he has a choice. He can take the judgment upon himself and be destroyed, or he can reject it and allow the world to perish. Of course, we know that Jesus chooses the former, and he gives himself as a perfect offering for the sins of the world. We then are left with a choice as well. We can accept the sacrifice of Jesus and allow the judgment that we deserve to fall on him, or we can reject it and allow that judgment to fall on ourselves. And this is wonderful news for all who believe, but I think sometimes we miss the implications of it. And we certainly benefit from what Jesus has done. We know that divine justice has been served because Jesus has taken our punishment and suffered in our place, allowing his own righteousness to be reckoned unto us. And this means that we do not have to suffer the eternal consequences of God's wrath upon us. However, that does not mean that Christians are free to behave any way we choose without consequences. As kingdom citizens, we're called not just to benefit from what Jesus has done, but also to imitate it. When Jesus says, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled," we're seeing here that he is longing for justice in the world. And we really need to have that same longing that Jesus had. But it can't just be inwardly focused. It's not just about getting justice for ourselves. It has to be outwardly focused as well. When we seek justice, it must be for others. And often that requires looking within and allowing our own behaviors to be judged. It means asking ourselves the tough question, how have I contributed to the injustice in the world? It's a hard question to ask ourselves. When I first moved to Springfield, Missouri, a pastor friend of mine told me about the underlying racial tension in the town. And to be honest, I really didn't believe him. How could there be racial tensions in a place where there really weren't any black people anyway? That should have been my first clue. However, I came face to face with this reality when I hired a black priest to serve on our pastoral staff. Now, Father Dan was and is a fantastic priest. He's a gifted preacher and teacher, a compassionate pastor, and a top-notch theologian and liturgist. Well, one day, Father Dan related a story on his personal Facebook page about an experience that he had at a local restaurant. He had gone there to have lunch with a parishioner, and he was dressed in his clerical collar and a sports jacket. The parishioner, who was a college professor with a shaggy hair and a beard, was dressed in jeans and a wrinkly t-shirt. Nevertheless, the server at the restaurant refused to even acknowledge Father Dan and only spoke to the white man. Even after Father Dan handed her his credit card to pay for the meal, when she brought it back, she gave it to the other guy. After reading this account that Dan told, my first concern was for him. And I figured we would get that same response from the rest of the congregation. But I was wrong. A number of church members were incensed that Father Dan had shared this experience on social media. He was told that he simply misinterpreted the situation and that he didn't deal with it properly. Suddenly, we were both being accused of promoting critical race theory in the parish, and I was criticized for trying to be woke by hiring a black priest as a token instead of a white priest. Now, this experience was incredibly eye-opening for me. It gave me a peek into what life was like for a black man in today's world. But it also exposed some of my own past behaviors, which may have unintentionally served to promote injustice in the world. When situations like this occur, how willing are we to step back and judge our own behavior first? Do we yearn for true justice, or do we simply look for our own justification? Now, this was not a fun time in my life, but that fire of judgment helped to burn off some things in my own life that needed to die. As citizens of God's kingdom, we always need to be willing to subject ourselves to the fire of judgment, as unpleasant as that may be, because it's through these fires that we come to be more and more like the one that we worship. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, anytime Rome would conquer a city, they would quickly bring in crews to start building roads and gymnasiums and theaters in this new conquered town. And their goal was to make the conquered city look as much like Rome as possible so that the people could then learn how to become good Roman citizens. Well, as Christians, we have a very similar job. We are called to make our own outposts of heaven, if you will, look as much like God's kingdom as possible, so that we might all learn to be good citizens of the kingdom of God. But often this means allowing the fire of judgment to refine us like gold and silver in this lifetime, so that true justice might prevail among us. Now, I wish I could say that if we all just did this, we would see peace and unity throughout the world. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Jesus says, starting in verse 51, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three." Judgment, by its very nature, is divisive. After all, for true judgment to occur, there must be a standard for what is right and what is wrong. When we seek to imitate Christ in our own lives and uphold his standards, it can easily drive a wedge between us and the world. My freshman year in college, I made friends with a bunch of people in my dorm, and we all had a lot of fun hanging out together that first semester. But I made it very clear that I was a Christian, and so there were certain things that they liked to do that I refused to participate in. And by the second semester, they had all pretty much cut off contact with me. But I had to ask myself, whose judgment do I care about more? The judgment of my friends or the judgment of God? But unfortunately, too often as Christians, we try to apply God's standard to others while failing to apply it to ourselves. Now, this past week, there was a church in Texas that got themselves into a bit of hot water for doing an unauthorized performance of the musical Hamilton. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this play, it tells the story of Alexander Hamilton using modern music like rap and hip-hop. And while the musical itself doesn't necessarily address modern social issues, the writers, the producers, and the actors are certainly advocates of the contemporary liberal social agenda. And so the church decided to make some changes to the script and rewrite some of the songs to make them fit better into a Christian perspective. In essence, by doing this, they were casting a judgment upon the original play and its writers. Now, it could be that this judgment was well justified, but here's the problem. producing and performing an unauthorized version of a musical is technically theft. And so their original judgment is weakened because they have failed to judge their own immoral and, yes, illegal actions. Yeah. However, Jesus tells us that before we can deal with the speck in our neighbor's eye, we must first take care of the log in our own eye. Although judgment is divisive, when we turn that eye of judgment on ourselves first, when we seek to get our own house in order, it actually has the potential to then draw others in. Just think about it. If your doctor is 400 pounds and tells you that you need to lose weight, you're probably going to ignore what he says or just go to another doctor. However, if your doctor is healthy and in good shape, you may still be offended and leave, but you're probably going to be more likely to listen to her and change your own bad habits. In a similar way, when we allow ourselves to be purified by the fire of judgment, our own witness has the potential to become even more effective, even in the face of division. My friends, Scripture is clear that divine judgment is inevitable. The Lord will one day return and put all of the wrongs in this world to right. But thanks be to God that Jesus has taken our judgment upon himself, and as a result, we will ultimately be judged according to his righteousness and not our own. As a result, we do not have to fear eternal judgment, but we must always be ready for the fire of God to refine us in this lifetime as we seek to become more and more like Jesus. Although this fire has the power to divide, it also serves as a light to those living in darkness. So allow that fire to burn brightly in your life so that others may be drawn to its light and its warmth. Amen.